Amen. Can you imagine the opportunity that we have one day to sing of his love? Woo, forever? It's going to be a great day, isn't it? Hey, welcome, everybody. It is so good to be here. I'm glad you guys were all here right now. Glad you're all here worshiping with us this morning. Listen, we have amazing teachers back there, and I feel like I'm a little bit excessive at the moment. I'm sure everybody feels that way on a regular basis, but for me, it's a little, okay, so that's better. Right now our kids get to go back and have some amazing teachers. We want to welcome those of you that are joining us online, whether this is your first time with us or 100th time with us. It is such a blessing that you've been able to participate and be a part of our extended spiritual family. The same goes true here for all of us here this morning, whether this is your first time or 100th time or 500th time or however many times it would be for 35 years. Praise the Lord that we all get to be together and we get to worship together and we get to just have a great, great time. Listen, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whatever, I want to encourage you guys this morning after church, as you're leaving church this morning, ask your kids, your little ones, not your teenagers, they don't know anything, but ask your kids what they learned in church this morning. And just see how they will bless you and how you will be encouraged by what they're doing, by what the teachers are doing back there. Listen, if you are in the young age, those of you that are parents are in the young age, kids are in the young age, parents are old. But listen, that class is going to be amazing today. I wish I was going to be in that class. Anyway, let's move on. we are, wasn't last week a great week, great weekend? Last weekend we had food together. We had fellowship together. We had an amazing, amazing time. I shared with you guys over these last few weeks, I've been sharing with you guys as we've been in this Not Ours series, and we've been kind of talking about, you know, the rising cost of things sometimes. And a few weeks ago, I mentioned something about eggs, and I was blessed with like 5,000 eggs. And then I mentioned something about bacon being so expensive, and I got some awesome garlic bacon. Then last week I mentioned to you guys, I told you guys about how gas is just getting really, really pricey. And I got two things. I got a big pot of chili, and I got, yeah, and I got a can of like baked beans, on my desk. So I think my house will be good for gas, for a little bit. But things are just getting crazy. And Beth wanted me to mention that books are really expensive lately. So just throwing that out, you know, Audible, Amazon, whatever, just throwing that out there. Anyway, last week was great because we got to welcome in some new members. We were blessed to be able to just be together as a family and just really enjoy our time together. It was so amazing. And we've been in this series called Not Ours, and we've been talking about various things over the course of these last few weeks, right? We talked about how God owns everything and I own everything. Nothing. I own nothing. How God owns everything and I own nothing. We talked about debt, and debt is not a fun topic to talk about, especially if you're talking about it with the person that's on the phone that keeps calling you about the debt. That's not a fun experience. I can remember many of those calls just throughout my life. I've seen and heard many of those phone calls. But we've also been talking about the fact that God actually owns everything and we own nothing. And if I actually believe that, right, if I actually believe that God owns everything and I own nothing, well, then it makes things like being generous really easy, because it's always easy to give other people's stuff away, right? And so if God owns everything, then I can easily give away what's God, and I can be generous with what's God. We've been looking at this concept of biblical stewardship, what it looks like to be faithful stewards of God's property, right? And what it looks like to give, to pay our debts, to do the things that we need to do with our finances. And then once we understood, once we came to the realization that God owns everything and I own nothing, then we need to understand what stewardship means, right? We needed to be able to process, okay, what is a steward? And I really wanted us to all be on the same page with vocabulary, because a lot of times people will mean different things and words mean different things, right? And so I wanted us to be on the same page. And so I shared this definition. Stewardship is the process of being responsible with someone else's property while it's been entrusted to you. The process of being responsible with someone else's property while it is entrusted to you. And again, if God owns everything and I own nothing, then I should be a steward of God's resources with myself, right? Like I should steward God's resources properly. I should give the way that God would want me to give. I should spend the way that God would want me to spend, right? I should do all of these things in the way that God would do it, because I'm simply the steward. I'm the manager of God's resources, right? Well, this week I wanted to talk about something else that fits into this topic of using God's resources the way that he would want to have them used. Using God's resources in a way that is responsible and honors God with the way that we do things, right? And so this is something that kind of gets glossed over in a lot of churches and a lot of conversations when we're talking about stewardship. This is a topic, I will be honest, I don't know that I've heard very many sermons or very many teachings on this particular topic. And so I thought it would be really good to see what the scripture says about the concept of providing for your family. Providing for your family. That's kind of an important thing, right? We're talking about those that live with you. We're talking about those that don't live with you. We're going to look at a large picture of that. You should also remember that I actually believe that scripture answers every single question that we could ever have. I actually believe that any situation we're ever going to deal with is going to be addressed in Scripture. And so we can go to Scripture and find the answer to everything. And if that's true, then Scripture must talk about this concept of providing for your family in some way. Like, it's got to be there, because I know Scripture answers everything, right? So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at a passage, and then I'd like to apply it to various stages of life and look like, see what it looks like in various stages of life. Remember, we're looking at how to build a budget. That's kind of one of the things that we've been, one of the underlying themes of what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And so if we're looking at how to build a budget, how to be financial stewards in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, then we should figure out, what does Scripture say about providing for your family? That's kind of an important part of budget building, right? So turn with me over to, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Again, look, the scriptures are going to be on the screen. They're going to be in the Bible, in your hard Bible, in your softback, whatever you have, as well as in the YouVersion Bible app. All the scriptures will be on there as well. So 1 Timothy 5:8 says, do I not have that? I don't have that scripture on there. It's not going to be on the screen. There we go. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. All right, let's be honest. That feels pretty intense, right? Like, that feels like, Paul, calm down. Just, That feels a little bit insane, but really we have to understand what we're looking at, right? We have to understand what's going on. In order to do that, let me explain to you, let me remind you really of who Paul is, right? Paul is a missionary in the very first century, okay? And he's a missionary, and this is probably in the 50s, you know, AD 50s, somewhere in there. And he's a missionary during the Roman Empire. And Paul wrote to this guy named Timothy. And Timothy was a disciple of Paul. Timothy was kind of like a mentor, a mentee of Paul. Paul was the mentor to Timothy. And Paul wrote about some things that were going on in a church that Paul had sent Timothy to. Paul specifically left Timothy in a place called Ephesus. Okay, and this is after, let me be clear, this is after Paul has already been imprisoned once, okay? This is after Paul has been beaten to a bloody pulp once, and it's going to happen multiple times, but this is after the first time that this has happened. But what Paul is more concerned about, he's less concerned about people going to prison, and he's more concerned about what's happening in this church, in this place called Ephesus, okay? And so this church is dealing with some things that are difficult, and honestly, it's things that are difficult in any church, which is why we have it as part of our scriptures today. But here's what's going on in the church of Ephesus. There were people going around giving out false teachings about Christianity. They had false teachers jumping into the church, like sneaking their way up as a Sunday school teacher type person or an evangelistic preacher or something like that. And they were sneaking in these false teachings. To put it into our perspective today, think of progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity has infiltrated the churches in America, the churches of the world, and it's a way that is building a false Christianity, false teachings within the church, right? And so that's what's going on there. And Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy because Timothy has to stop it. It's on Timothy's watch. He has to be the one to deal with it, right? So that's the basic context of why Paul wrote Timothy this letter. Okay, so that puts you in a little bit of a time frame, or not a time frame, a little bit of a contextual idea of what's going on there. And then once we're inside of this letter, we come to 1 Timothy 5. And in this section, we see that Paul is talking about taking care of widows and how families actually have responsibilities. Like there's actually your blood family, that there is actually a responsibility to the families. Specifically, Paul is teaching Timothy or telling Timothy that he needs to instruct the Christians in the church that they need to stop abdicating their responsibilities to the church, and they need to deal with things themselves. Right, the church has limited resources. This has been the case for all of time. And so the first job is of the family to provide for the family, right? And so Paul is talking about this. And he's telling Timothy that he needs to instruct these Christians to take care of their own widows, to take care of their own family, because there were some that were in the habit of just, you know, leaving the widows, leaving those that were in need at the church's doorstep and saying, hey, you know, the church can figure it out. And so then this person, what Paul says is this person who does not provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever, because he's proven that his love is false. He's proven that he doesn't actually have a sincere faith. He's like one of those people in the church that claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him, right? We've all read that. We've all seen that. We've seen that in person. Like, we've had conversations with people, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's in person. We've had conversations with people where somebody says that they're a Christian, but clearly is not acting like a Christian, right? And so Paul is talking about this, and Paul makes this a really important topic. However, this is a topic that doesn't just involve elderly parents. This is a topic that goes beyond just widows, right? And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at four stages of providing for your family. And I'm not sure four stages of providing for your family. And within these four stages, listen, these four stages are just a concept, okay? These four stages that I've kind of picked and chosen are just illustrative to show that throughout our entire life, we have responsibilities as human beings, as Christians. There are things that we are responsible with. And so keep in mind that these stages are an example, not a hard and fast, this is all people of all time. Everyone is one of these four things. There are definitely more than this. I just kind of stopped at four. Otherwise, we'd be here all week. And so the first stage that I want to look at this morning is children. Some of you in here are children. Some of you have your children in the back. But children, and this is stage, listen, this stage, I'm talking about everyone from newborns all the way up to like the teenage, high school, maybe even college age kids, okay? And let me be clear, I am not saying that all children, when I say children from, you know, newborn up to college, I'm not saying that all of them are the same, okay? For instance, teenagers, I would never say that you're whiny all the time. Your parents might say that and have, but I wouldn't say that. What I'm referring to is the category of person that's living at home that is dependent on their parents financially, emotionally, physically, that they're dependent on their parents. And so we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." You see, as children, we are called to obey and honor our parents. We are called to obey and honor our parents. And that means that as small children, right, as small children, when we have the challenge of figuring out what we can get away with, right, like those of you that are parents of small kids, you know that your kids are constantly pushing the boundary, right? Like how far can I get before I get yelled at? How far can I get before I get spanked or before I get timeout or before I get whatever form of discipline you have, you've chosen? We are called to obey our parents. So that means parents, you're called to teach your children to obey, right? And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. This means as teenagers, when mom and dad tell you to do something, even if it's something you don't really want to do, when mom and dad tell you to do something, I don't care how stupid it sounds, because we all know, I knew this at least when I was 18, I knew far more than my parents knew. So I don't care how stupid it sounds, we're called to obey our parents. This also means that as older children, we're called to honor our parents, right? I can remember a time in my life when I had a conversation with my dad. I was an adult son at, I was around 19. I had come back to live with my parents. I'd already lived on my own. I'd come back to live with my parents at that time. And because I was an adult, there was a shift in the way that my parents talked to me. There was a shift in the way that my dad would respond to me. As a matter of fact, my dad one day just flat out said to me, "Billy, I'm sorry for talking to you as a child. You're an adult and I need to speak to you as an adult." And there was a shift when that happened, right? Because my parents treated me as an adult, but that meant that I also had to honor my parents as a child, right? That was my part of the contribution there. I was called to give honor to my parents. And I think for most of us, really, that's kind of an instinctive thing that we just kind of do. For most, not every case. And we do this because it's in our character, especially as Christians. It's in our character to honor our parents. And when a child honors and obeys a parent, they are providing for their family. And we're talking about providing for your family today. So when a child obeys and honors a parent, they're providing for their family. And this is really important because Paul says, if you don't do that, then you're worse than an unbeliever. Let that sink in, teenagers, adult children. Let that sink in the next time you dishonor mom and dad. The next time you want to yell at mom and dad. Just let that sink in. So other than children, the next phase, because, you know, children lasted up to like the college age. So the next stage that I'm going to talk about this morning is single adults. Single adults. This is a very specific group of people right here, right? This is a group of people that they're older, but and maybe they've started their own career. Maybe you're not married yet. You've got financial responsibilities, but they're not quite the same because you know you don't maybe have kids yet, and so your financial responsibilities aren't as divided as they will be one day, right? This is a person that is maybe focused on growing their career, getting started in life. However, this is still a person that does have some financial responsibilities. You've got debts you're paying off. You're saving up for a car, for a house, whatever the case may be. And many times when people are in that situation, we can see ourselves as resources for our friends, for our family, right? And I've seen this, I've lived this, where the friend or the family member that has financial resources has people sometimes that will come to them and say, hey, can I borrow? But as single adults, many times we have the potential of being seen as the person with money, to be so that we're seen as the person that can give and that can loan or can loan money out and allow someone to borrow finances from you. And last week we talked about debt. And I told you all my theory on debt, that I don't loan anybody money. I will give money, but I will not loan it. If I have it available and you need it, it's yours, but I don't loan money. And that's because of what we see right here in Proverbs 22, verse 7. It says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Right there, when you loan someone money, your relationship instantly changes. Immediately, you are no longer in a family relationship. Now you're in a borrower-lender relationship. Now you're in a very different relationship. You may not intend for there to be any changes, but the reality is that there are, right? For instance, if you loaned a family member money, if you loaned a friend money, but we're talking about family, so if you loaned a family member money, how would you feel if they took an expensive vacation before they even started paying you back? You wouldn't be super happy about, and maybe some of you in here are like, oops, you wouldn't be very happy about that, right? Or maybe they bought really nice clothes or really nice car, and your car is kind of beat up. You wouldn't be very happy about that. It's going to change the relationship, and maybe they don't even ever start to pay you back. And now you have a broken relationship, right? Because you immediately went from family to borrower and lender. Now, let me be clear. I am not saying that you should not help your family. As a matter of fact, I'm saying the complete opposite of that. What I'm saying is that if there is a situation that comes up in which someone in your family needs help and you have the capability of helping them, it's your responsibility to help them. If you have the means to help them, you just give them the money. You give them the resource. If you can give, you give. You see, this is the type of thing that Paul is talking about as he wrote to Timothy. So when a single adult gives to family, they're providing for their family. Again, these are just example ages, right? All of these things fit all of us, right? But what about the adult that is in the stage of life where they now have their own family? They're married, you've got kids, and we see this scripture in the scripture as well. This is actually one of the easiest stages we can look at, right? Because we see right here, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So what does it mean to train up a child in the way he should go? Well, honestly, it has a lot of meanings. This idea of training up our children has a lot of different meanings, because when we're training them up in the way that they should go, then you're paying attention to the temperament of your child. You're paying attention to the personality of your child. You're helping them learn what God has created them for, how God has gifted them. That's part of your role as parent and grandparent too. You can jump into this as well, right? When we're training up a child in the way that they should go, you're paying attention to the culture around them to make sure that the outside culture, and when I say outside culture, I mean other than Christian culture, does not invade their Christian life, right? You're teaching them how to navigate that culture that is anti-Christian. You see, when you're helping to train up a child in the way that he should go, you're also teaching about financial principles in order for them to be able to succeed in life. All of us, at least I think this is true. You're welcome to message me and tell me I'm crazy, but I think this is true. Every parent that I've ever talked to and asked this question to, you always want your kids to be better than you. Right? That's our goal as parents, to lift them up, and if they can have a better life than what I had, then I'm super happy, right? It doesn't always happen, but that's our goal, right? That's one of the goals of being a parent. And so teaching financial principles in order to help them succeed is part of training them up. When you train up a child, you're training him to work hard and not be lazy. Right, that's a big aspect, especially as our cultures continue, the outside culture continues to get lazier and late. I saw a video earlier this week sometime, and it cracked me up because it was a person that labeled themselves as Gen Z, which, in case you don't know, Gen Z is like high school, early 20s kind of, or 20s, that kind of age frame. And then this person was bad-mouthing the millennials, which, if you guys can remember, like 15 years ago, everyone was bad-mouthing the millennials because the millennials are just lazy. They don't know how to work. And now Gen Z is like, well, you made us lazy. You just worked hard, and now we don't even know how to work. And I'm like, really? That's a little bit of a brain break, I guess. When you train up a child, you're training them to work hard so that they're able to financially provide for their family when they move into that stage, right? You don't want them to be needy. You want your kids to do well, right? In other words, when you train up a child in the way he should go, you will train him to live a life pleasing to the Lord. When you're training your children, when you train up a child in the way he should go, you're training them to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Now, this is not something you can possibly do if you are not modeling this for your kids. In other words, I'm sure we've all heard the expression, or maybe said the expression, do as I say, not as I do. We also all know that that doesn't work. So if I want to train my kids to live a life pleasing to the Lord, then that has to be my goal as well. I have to be attempting everything I have to live a life pleasing to the Lord, because I want to train them to do it as well. And when you train a child to live a life pleasing to the Lord, then you're providing for them. It's another aspect of providing for them. And there are other stages. Like I said, these are just four kind of generalized. So the last one I want to look at is that of adult children. Adult, and this applies to every single one of us. We are all, most of us are adult children, right? And this is where we come back to being the adult child of an aging parent. And if you're at this stage in life, then this scripture in 1 Timothy is pretty clear to you, right? Let's look back at it. 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you're an adult child of an aging parent, then you have a biblical mandate to care for and provide for your aging parents. That's your biblical role. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to pay for all their resources, right? That doesn't mean you have to pay the bills. It means that you have to love and care and show concern and provide when you need to provide, right? It means that you need to, within your ability, assist and provide whenever there is a need. Now, is that a glamorous job? Nope. It sure isn't. But it is a life pleasing to the Lord. So are you allowing your aging parent to think that they're alone in trying to figure out how to age and trying to figure out how to end well? Are you allowing your aging parent to just feel like they're alone to manage the difficulties of life? Listen, they've never dealt with this stuff before either. Are you allowing the church to take care of your aging parent because you don't want to? Are you allowing other Christians or maybe even the state to take care of your aging parents because you don't feel like it? Because it's too hard? Now, listen, it's one thing if you don't live near your aging parent. It's one thing if you don't have the resources, okay, to be able to step in and pay the bills or to do whatever it needs to do. It's another thing if you're simply unwilling to care for your family. Now, briefly, let me speak to the family member that maybe isn't being provided for. And I don't care. This could be the child. This could be the parent, the single adult, the adult child, the aging adults, whatever it is. I don't want you to listen to what I'm saying today and hear that your child, who maybe isn't providing for you in whatever ways that you may need, that they're evil or that they're doing everything wrong or that they're sinning against you, because that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is they're sinning against God. It's not against you, it's against God. And that's hard to say. That feels harsh, right? But Paul was pretty harsh. Because see, what Paul said is that this family member that's not providing for me is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. I'm saying that they're sinning against God. That's harsh. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's not soft talk from Paul, right? Like, that's pretty harsh coming from Paul. And I don't care what stage of life we're in. If we are not providing for our family in whatever way we need to provide for our family, then we're sinning against God. So how in the world, in today's age, we don't live the way that they lived there. In 2022, how do I make all of this make sense? Right? Like, how do I make these connections? So, as you're taking time to prepare your budget, because this is something all of us should be doing, right? What we should be taking, we see what we make, what we bring in, what our income is, and we budget it out to be able to pay the bills and to be able to pay our debts and to be able to give to God and to be able to provide for our family. We budget out our money. And so no matter what stage you're in, as you're taking time to create your budget, don't forget to provide for your family. Listen, God comes first, right? I think we can all agree on everything is God's, none of it's mine. So God comes first, family comes next. In this very passage, we see that Paul is writing to Timothy about how even non-believers take care of their families. Even non-believers do the basics of caring for their families. So if you're here this morning, if you're joining us online, and you're not providing for your family in whatever area that may look like, because it's different in every aspect of life, right? Providing for your family means different things for different people in different stages of life. But if you're here this morning, if you're joining us online, and you're not providing for your family in the way that we see in Scripture, well, then you need to reevaluate the way you're stewarding your resources from God. You need to reevaluate what you're doing with your resources, and you need to steward them properly. That means in your finances, in your time, in your abilities, in whatever other resources God has gifted you with. Or if you've taken from God what is rightfully God's, in other words, if you're not giving to him first, if you're taking from him, if you're stealing from him, then you need to repent of that sin. That's the bottom line. Listen, my job isn't to come up here every week and just make everybody feel like butterflies and rainbows all the time, right? My job is to say, how can we, as a body of believers, better reflect Christ? And the only way for us to do that is to repent when we sin. So if you're here this morning, if you're joining us online, and you would say that I have not been providing for my family appropriately, then you need to repent and change the way that you're using your resources. Repent of the sin and begin stewarding what God has given to you properly. I know there may be some here this morning, there may be some joining us online, that have no idea what a relationship with God even means. Like maybe you're here, maybe, you know, somebody drug you, whatever, and you don't know what a relationship with God is. And maybe you're joining us online and you just kind of happened about the page and decided, well, I'll check it out this week, and you don't even know what a relationship with God looks like. Maybe you're just now starting, kind of tippy-toeing into the church thing. Well, first of all, let me encourage you in this. Whatever stage you're in your Christian life, you're not alone. Listen, there's, I don't know, 60, 70-something people in this room this morning. You're not alone. Maybe you grew up in church, or you're just trying to figure it out. So this morning, I want to ask you, if you're here, to take a moment and fill out a connect card. They're back there by the bulletins. Fill out a connect card, and then let's connect. Let's actually have a conversation together. If you're joining us online, I want to encourage you to send through Messenger or email or whatever means you need to connect, and let's have a conversation about what a relationship with God looks like. About what it looks like for you to be able to appropriately provide for your family. Now listen, when I'm talking about us providing for our families, I'm not talking about us being a doormat to be taken advantage of. There's still a level of personal responsibility. But I'm saying that we should be, as Christians, seeking to provide for our family. So let me encourage you, whatever stage you're in this morning, let me encourage you to make sure that you're providing for your family, whether that's financially, with your time, with your abilities, whatever it is. And then right after, make sure that right after the Lord, your family expenses and your family needs are met. In other words, like I said, the Lord is first, right? Listen, he gives us 100%. He's like, hey, Billy, hang on to this $100. I only need $10 of it tomorrow. You can do whatever you want with the other $90. That's a pretty awesome gift, right? So after we give to the Lord, then make sure that your budget pays your bills and meets your financial requirements and provides for your families. And if you need help figuring that out, if you need help with budgeting, if you need help kind of figuring out what finances should look like, then reach out and let's have a conversation. Because it can be hard sometimes. So reach out and let's talk about you stewarding God's resources appropriately. Because here's the reality that we all need to just remember day in and day out, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, God owns everything and I own nothing. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the gifts that you have given us. Father, thank you for the gift of family that you've given to us. God, we cannot begin to fathom. We cannot begin to understand. We cannot begin to think about what life would be like without the family that you've gifted to us. Father, we know that sometimes we fall short as believers. And so, Lord, we're sorry about that. We repent of that and we seek to live a life pleasing to you and provide for our families. Father, we also know that sometimes we fail in providing for ourselves and just expect everyone else to deal with it for me. Father God, if that's anyone here this morning, I would ask that you would encourage in their heart for them to steward the resources that you have given them appropriately. And God, we're sorry. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us a family that points us to you. Father, as I look at my family, I'm able to see you through the gifts that you've given. And so I thank you for that. Lord, let me be a financial steward, a resource steward for my family in a way that pleases you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with us?